Hello?
Yeah, hi, Travis.
Hi.
I had a look in this office and I didn't find any of the old discs. There's a file cabinet up in my old office that may have something. I'll have to have a look tomorrow.
Cool.
Without any other info, I can't answer a whole lot of the questions.
I see.
But I can say a few things. The standby power for the 3000, I think, is something like 15 watts, and the 5000 is something like 20 watts. And that's something you could measure if you hooked them up to 48 volt batteries and just saw what they were doing. So
right.
they weren't really optimized for standalone use, so more grid connect.
Yeah, 20 seems like a lot something. for standby, but at the same time, it's really not much, so it's not really going to bother me too bad to have it.
Yeah, right. You can make it up with another module or so, and that's not too much money now. And then
the efficiency chart, I figured the more you use, the less that 20 watts would matter, so the higher the efficiency would go.
That's right. And there's one other advantage over an inverter with a sleep mode, and that is that you can turn on a low-powered light, like a 6-watt LED, and it'll just turn on, as opposed to the sleep mode. Often it wasn't sensitive enough to bring things on at night.
Yep, I've seen people complaining about that. They had to turn on a heavier load to keep it on, and that was bothersome for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they only wanted it to stay on for this little 2-watt doodad, you know.
That's right.
And so it doesn't actually shut down. It just continues being on and ready.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's no sleep mode. They are very, what's the point? They're pretty heavy duty. The surge power, I think, is at least 150%, it might be closer to 200.
Yeah, the surge, I think, on the 5000 said it was 10,000 in the installation manual.
Yeah, that was one of the challenges that we had from our initial customers. They said, you want to be able to start a one-horse well pump, and it can do that. So,
right.
And a lot of inverters in that era couldn't do it. Overload protection. There is software protection or like current protection that uses current sensors. I think on the primary there's a blue square box it's an LEM current sensor.
Yeah.
So if the current exceeds a certain amount on that, it'll do a shutdown. And there is temperature sensing in various areas as well. And then the ultimate is that the circuit breakers will do some shutdown as well.
Okay.
Sounds
pretty well protected from that then.
Yeah. And if you do run it at 5 kilowatts continuous at a 50 ambient, you might get it to overheating and it will shut down and give you some sort of code and fault code, and it shouldn't harm it, but it's not a good thing to do to any electronics.
Mm-hmm. It shuts down maybe because it eventually gets too warm.
Yeah. And if you can get some of the communications programs running, it'll tell you how warm it is.
Okay.
I honestly don't know much at this point. I can't remember anything about firmware upgrades for generators. And I'd say all you can do is test it. But we did have them running on Honda 3.5 kilowatt generators just fine.
I know it's got the lug for it and the breaker for the generator input.
Mm-hmm.
But that line in the manual kind of made me wonder, what does that line mean? Does that mean I shouldn't do the generator at all? Or does that mean it won't command the generator to start up on its own without the firmware upgrade?
There are auxiliary relays, I think, in there that were set up to do generator start, but maybe that part wasn't programmed. And on the other hand, if you do a manual start of a generator and put power into that input, it should just run, it should charge. The only problem is you're going to have to change set points if you want to run a 1,000-watt generator, because I think it'll assume that it can pull like 4K or something like that. So I think you have to, as you say, manually program the generator specs.
Yeah. So would the 3,000 and the 5,000 have a different, would they have different abilities as far as wattage to pull from the generator?
Probably, yeah. I imagine the defaults for the 3,000 are the 3,000 watt generator, and the 5,000 is probably something like 4,000 or 5,000 watts. So
is it using the? Does it? Would it use the grid transformer in the case of charging mm-hmm. from the generator?
Yeah, they all work the same way, and. I think
the 5,000 has a bigger transformer, so it might be able to pull more power from the generator.
Correct. My guess is that it can run up to 5,000, but I don't mm-hmm. know what the defaults are, and I'll keep looking to see if I can find anything.
Okay.
I did ask one of the engineers who did a lot of the design work on it, and he said he doesn't have anything anymore. It's too many computers ago.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll keep looking. I've got to go up to the other house, and I seem to remember there was a file with a CD in it with all the software and some of the design documents.
I did download one file from a forum, or one EXE file. Hang on, let me see. I can tell you what the name of that download was. Here in files. Internal download.
I have.
All it says is V3.0 RAR.
So,
version 3.0 RAR. I haven't unrarred it or looked inside yet to see see anything more.
Yeah, okay. The last time I had an MM5 going was about 2008 or 9. There were a couple sitting up in the shop here, and we had an ice storm, and I hooked them up, and I was running them as backup power. And pretty sure then I managed to get the generator to charge as well. So... I was on a Honda 3.5K generator. It was a 5-kilowatt MM5. So
it seemed to work. My Honda's 3,000, the 3,000 inverter generators, the 3,000 I have.
Yeah.
But then I have the 2,000 as well, and I can couple them together if I have to make the 5.
Oh, that's nice. The best thing for you though is that you typically don't need a whole lot of generator power. You know, it's just to get you through the night if you've run low or something like that, and so you should set it up, change the set point so that you can run it with a smaller generator. What I was getting at though is back in 2008 I did have a software disk for I think the DOS program for changing the set points, and I presume that and Windows 97 laptop that it was running on is still all sitting up there near it.
Right.
If I can get that, and I think actually there's even a USB floppy drive for it floating around, so we might be able to pull that info off that, pull a program off that floppy.
Yeah.
So You know, I'll keep in touch. You know, give me a buzz every so often and tell me what you're up to. And if I do find anything, I'll send it off to you. Got to be a little careful about exposing the program code because it belongs to Beacon Power now. But I can look at it and tell you what I see and answer some questions probably. So.
I see. Do you know if Beacon Power's software that they were using to control their version of this would work on this unit?
Probably.
I wonder. Well, that might be a little more recent and could be obtainable somehow if I could find it.
I don't think they did anything. They didn't have any engineers who understood the software. So my understanding is they did some re-engineering of the hardware. But I don't think they changed the software in their releases.
Okay.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, cool. Because the one I downloaded might have been the one that they were supplying to people.
Yeah, well, that's probably the Windows program or the DOS program. The Windows one was pretty nice, as I remember, had a lot of, had some nice front-end graphics and then pretty easy way to change set points and things like that. The DOS one's real basic, and I think you need to know the command prompts, but I think it has help as well.
Right.
So, probably possible to work it out.
Did the Windows one work on 90, 98, 2000, XP? What was it compatible with?
Yeah, it'd probably run on even Windows 7, a very vanilla Windows app. And it was done with either Ball and Delphi, Ball and C++, which is now Embarcadero, and that stuff was pretty robust and didn't rely on too much in terms of system things that
right.
are typically very standalone, and so it should run.
You were telling me about the FTDI converter.
Right.
Now, is that, because it's got the network cord, you know, where you can plug in the network cord on the inverter.
Mm-hmm.
Can I plug that right into the regular network plug on my computers, or does it still need this converter?
You'd probably break something somewhere if you did that.
Okay. Okay. So it's got to be an old kind of network, and that's what this FTDI is.
It's not actually. Well, the idea was that you could have several of these, and they could be networked together. Several inverters, and they could be networked together. But it's got nothing to do with Ethernet. In fact, if I remember right, I think it's got a phone connector on it, not an 8-pin.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that. Looked a little small.
I think it's 4-wire. And so that's ground, probably 12 volts and 2 communications wires. And I do have an adapter, as I said, sitting up with the 2 inverters that are sitting up in the basement of the other house. And so I can probably work out what the pinout for that is too.
Probably irrelevant as far as that goes, just as long as I don't try plugging it into something newer. So
don't plug it into anything else. No,
okay.
The only thing you want to connect it to is an RS-485 converter, which is what the standard is. And that's ground into communication lines.
Yeah.
And, you wouldn't connect to the 4th wire.
Okay.
So that, at a pinch, I can probably see if I can get some of that to go again. I'd have to rig up I haven't got any batteries up there anymore. So.
Yeah. Well, finding out the factory set points is probably irrelevant. In the case that I have the software, because then I can just look at what they were and change them anyway if I didn't like it.
Exactly, yeah. And
that was only a fallback in case I couldn't get a hold of the software.
Yeah. And chances are, in that it is set up for a sealed battery, it wouldn't, in the short term, harm batteries. It wouldn't overcharge them. But in the longer term, you definitely want to set it up so that it's got A high charging voltage every day, so the PV takes it up to reasonable float voltage. And I do remember there's an equalized capability in there, but boy, again, a long time ago.
Yeah, it said that it would only work off the grid, and I was wondering if it would run off the inverter. I mean, not inverter, I mean generator, if it would do an equalization.
You can always manually change the set point up to do an equalize and then just leave it to the right float voltage.
Oh, true. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
So, there are a lot of things there. A lot of the coding's pretty tricky. And you asked the question as to whether it will support the generator. I don't think so. I think it's set to be unidirectional.
What do you mean? Support the generator? Like when I said, will it pass the power through?
Yeah, it'll definitely pass the power through. And I don't know whether it would, if you had a 1,000-watt generator, if it would allow you to put 5,000 out. I'm not sure that was a design consideration in that era. It's something that Santrex and others came up with.
So let's say I had a 500-watt generator, something really small.
Mm-hmm.
And does that mean that it would only pass the 500 watts through to the load, or could I just say, hey, don't pass through anything from the generator, simply use that to charge and simultaneously have the inverter running for a 5,000 watt supply?
Yeah, I honestly don't know the answer. Probably it'll still run a 5,000 watt load, but I can't be sure.
I'll probably be able to find out just from hooking things up and seeing what happens, if the red light comes on the generator or not.
Yeah, that's right. There's every likelihood that it'll be able to put out still at 5 kilowatts, and the generator will be limited to 1,000. But like I said, it's a long, long time ago since that stuff was done. And I did some of the coding back then, but I can't remember the core of the.
One thing that led me to believe it wouldn't simply supply the generator's power out to the load was that it said there was a so many second millisecond switch time between when the grid power went down and when the inverter started up. So it showed me that the inverter wasn't really there to help the generator or there to help the load. Help the grid.
Yeah, because of the top topology, what it does is it actually switches mode. It has to disconnect the utility, and then it would probably wait for a while to see if the generator was conditioned, and then it would connect to that. And but inside, once the generator relay closes, the contactor closes, the generator is hard connected to the load and to the inverter and secondary winding. That I know.
Right.
That's what the topology is. It's really just battery through inverter, through the transformer to the secondary, and then the loads are connected directly on the output, and then there are two contactors, one for grid and one for generator. And they're set up so that typically only one or the other would close. If the power's available on those two ports.
I know that my inverter generators, they're just the regular Honda ones, they'll phase match and match each other, help each other. I don't know how they do it, but I just plug them into each other, take the 110 volt out from one, plug it into the 110 volt out to the other, and as long as they're both plugged in before I start them, then the second one I start will match and help the first. But I understand that you can't plug a generator into the grid connection because it's designed to feed power to the grid.
That would be bad for the generator. And the other thing is that the grid trip points are way tighter than you'd want on a generator, unless it was a pretty special generator. So my view with the inverter generator, it would hold frequency well enough that it could stay on in the grid connection, but I'm pretty sure it wouldn't like having power fed back into it unless it was from another Honda. So, yeah, I wouldn't do that. It's probably asking for trouble.
I wonder how that would work, because if you... Because it has to basically one up the grid. It has to raise the voltage a little in order to backfeed into the grid.
Right, that's true.
So,
and so
what would the generator do in that situation? I have no idea.
No, it would start motoring. You can definitely motor a generator, but it's, you can get to the point where they run away and break crankshafts and...
It might just idle down because it, you know, when you're not pulling any very many watts from it, the idle goes way down to much lower RPM, and then and when it senses the voltage drop below 121, it starts to idle up again. And
yeah. So anyway, you don't want to connect a generator to the grid connection because, as you say, then the inverter would try and pump PV power to the generator, which would be a bad thing, but I'm pretty sure the generator input is set up so it can only do positive power into the load and into the battery.
Right. So, yeah, naturally it would. All right, I'm not looking at all my questions, so is that all the ones that you can answer now?
Yeah, I think so. One other thing to say is that I've got a few spare boards floating around. If something goes wrong, I can't offer actual troubleshooting, but I could probably send you some parts for free. So I'd get them out of my workshop. That would be a blessing. So,
cool. Well, I've got three of these, and they'll probably be lasting forever, I hope. But in the event that they did break, I know that there's no parts available anywhere. So that's a golden...
I've got a few little bit pieces. And I think actually my buddy out in Denver who did some of the design might have a few parts lying around. He's probably in the same place where he has no intention of doing anything with them and would be happy to just hand them over. So,
I'd definitely pay for the shipping and whatnot too.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I better get back to work. Got a lot to do tonight. I'm working on an Alaska project. Life is busy. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much.
Good luck.